Hello, welcome to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Gregory. Thanks so much for joining me for today's episode. This is our 309th episode of the podcast, and I really do appreciate you tuning in. No matter what platform you're on, no matter how you're listening to the podcast, thanks so much for joining me. Hope you're having a great week. If you are enjoying the podcast, please don't forget to tell some friends and family members about it. Give us a little ranking up on a review up on a platform where you listen. It helps other people find the podcast, and that would be great. Really do appreciate you helping us promote the podcast that way and help other people find it. This week, I wanted to talk about edges and overlaps in photography. And when I first thought of the title or first thought about the subject, you know, one of the first things that came to mind was actually whether I was talking about sharpening in a photograph. When we sharpen, we find edges and how those edges overlap or bleed out to create the impact of sharpness. Then I thought about how we overlap objects within a photograph and how colors relate and tones relate based on the various shapes and sizes within the image. So I thought, well, this could go a lot of different ways. But really what I wanted to talk about is the notion of edges and overlaps as we think about the language by which we describe and talk about our photography. And the two areas I wanted to start with, you know, were voice and vision. And when we talk a lot and you read a lot about vision matters, what's your voice, how do you speak about these things, how you discover these things, and I've got workshops that actually help people discover this. I mean, that's one of the primary purposes of some of the work I do with people is to help them articulate what those various things are. And part of that is defining what these terms actually mean, because out there, I think a lot of us have slightly different definitions for what these various terms can mean. And so I think it's important that we define those. And now, in my world, you know, voice is the thing that you have to say. It's who you are. It's intrinsic of the thing you observe that you then want to talk about. And these usually relate to core values. They relate to things that are top of mind that you think need to be discussed. And, you know, sometimes it's really important, big issues, social justice, environment, family, whatever it is. Sometimes it might just be something funny and goofy. You know, we all have different sides of our personality. And recognizing that there's these different things that we want to talk about, these different things we want to communicate in different ways. And that's part of the reason why I think there's a lot of variety for some of us in our photography. We're trying to communicate a lot of what we have to say, and sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's, you know, about integrity, whatever it is, there's a bunch of things within there. And then in the notion of vision is the way we see. It's not the thing that we are articulating. It's not the core that's inside of us. It's that we don't normally have a representation of because it's intrinsic to us. But vision is the way we see. It's where purpose lives, intention, the methodology by which we would present it. You know, I talk about a lot at a very basic level how, you know, voice is the thing you have to say. Vision is the way you're going to say it. So are you going to choose to do sculpture, photography? And if you're going to do photography, are you doing color in black and white? Are you doing analog or digital? Are you doing large and small? And then what's the ultimate presentation? Is it gallery, book, article? You know, how would you imagine seeing that come together? And that's why for me, vision is all about that kind of pulling together of all of the elements of the photographs and the series and the sequence to kind of allow us to see what you thought about and what your intention was and your message was, because in vision is seen. So the voice is that underpinning message. And the piece I wanted to talk about today is where edges and overlaps come in, because I think when we talk about these things, and particularly for those of us who are helping people in these conversations, or if we're having conversations with friends about, you know, what do these terms mean and why are they important, we have a tendency to put them into very specific buckets, very specific columns in the spreadsheet, so to speak. And when we do that, what happens is we create an edge, and sometimes we create a hard edge between these various areas. So when you work with me in a workshop and we work on the nature of your work, I kind of look at four big buckets. You know, there's voice, vision, style, and signature. And I look at those four things, and I present that model as an overlapping Venn diagram where there's these little intersections within there. Because I don't think, as we talk about photography, as we talk about the things that matter, that there are hard edges. I think we sometimes believe that there's a hard edge there, but oftentimes it's a little bit grayer. There's a little bit of shifting in perspective from one idea to the other. And what ends up being there is an overlap between the two things. We end up with this area where maybe it's voice begins and vision starting, And in fact, they're together a little bit. The language that we describe is together a little bit, that our vision of what we want to do and the thing that we're trying to say are somewhat interconnected. They are, in fact, joined in a way that doesn't make it, what is this one thing and what is this other? Now, I think it's a lot easier to explain to somebody that this one thing is this and this other thing is that. We do this and then we do that. And once we do those two things, then together we see what they are. But like I said, the reality is it's more of a continuum, and it's more of a moving continuum a little bit, where we drift between those and somewhere where those two things start to overlap, which is why I like the idea of a Venn diagram. You know, there's some interesting synergy that happens as those two things come together. The articulation of those, I think, is really important in the creating of the work, because if one of those is in fact, you know, unclear, we almost end up in a teeter-totter situation where if we're heavy on voice, but we lack the vision of what we want to communicate, we don't effectively communicate. And at the same time, let's say we get enamored with a certain presentation methodology or a certain technical technique to present something, and we get really good at that, but yet we aren't sure what we want to say through the technique. We end up just using the technique. And I think there's a lot of times, if you think about maybe some motion pictures or some of the films you've seen, or even some of the photographs you may have even taken of your own or somebody else's, where you look at them and you're like, wow, you know, that was visually pretty cool, but there was no story behind that. Like, I was entertained for 2 hours, but I'll never think about that movie again. It had really cool special effects. Things flew around, they blew up and then exploded, but I really have no idea what the purpose of that movie was other than to showcase these special effects. And at the same time, sometimes we watch a movie or we see a thing, we think, wow, that if that would just been edited a little tighter, if they had cut 10 minutes out of that story, it would have been so much more compelling. I would have been so much more engaged. Instead, it dragged a little bit. And what we're seeing there is this tension that sort of sits between those coming into balance. And like I said, think of them like a teeter-totter in some ways. You know, when we're both off the ground, you know, things are in balance. We're not weighted from one side to the other. As we conceptualize moving forward, as we conceptualize the work we're attempting to do, I think one of the big challenges for us as we create the work is getting clarity in both of those. And like I said, they're actually informative of each other. And so even in my own processing that I do with my own work and when I help others, is we do kind of start in a spot and see where the path kind of leads us. But that meandering is a part of the understanding of why we create the work. It's the understanding of why the work resonates and connects with us. Because the other thing that happens a lot when we create things is we may believe we have an understanding of our purpose, but it is through the actual work that the nature of that reveals itself. The thing that actually matters to us most reveals itself. And so on the surface, we might decide we are something, but then as we work, as we look at photographs, as we sequence photographs, as we print photographs, we start to realize that we're shifting in our understanding of potentially who we are and what matters. And the analogy I like to use here is I hear people say all the time that they talk about how the environment's important to them. You know, and then ask the question, well, are you an environmentalist or a conservationist? Is there a difference there for you? And if you do see a difference, and if you don't, that's fine. But if you do see a difference there, you know, why did you pick one of those terms over the other? What's the response there? And let's say like you decide, well, I'm an environmentalist. And then I say, okay, well, are you the Nature Conservancy, Greenpeace, or Earth First? You know, are you going to blow up the Hoover Dam, paint a crack on the Hoover Dam, or are you going to work to make sure that dams that no longer need to be present need to be removed and we mitigate some of the impacts of what happened when prior projects were built? You know, where are you in that continuum? Now, some of those things don't come up until we start doing the work. We can't figure out what position we want to take. How strong of stand do we want to take? We're impacted and driven by experiences that we hadn't anticipated. I believe in the core of all of us, those things that we know to be true, we already know to be true. And what we need sometimes is an entry point, an access point to get to have that conversation, not just with others, but with ourselves that's truly meaningful. And so as we look at voice and vision in particular, you know, the things I have to say, sometimes it's not until I see it visually on the wall do I even understand what I'm attempting to create. And that's why I think so much of our time that's spent trying to figure out what the project's going to be, what we're going to work on, what it's going to look like, becomes more challenging because we're not actually creating anything that can help answer that question. You know, that idea of the edge and the overlap, the edge of not creating the work is significant because we don't get over that edge. And if we just think about what the work's supposed to be and what it's supposed to say, we never get past that. But if we allow the overlap to be between a fuzzy idea and the execution of the work, from that we start to gain the clarity and realizing that, in fact, it's not a squishy ball of goo or a hard edge. It sits somewhere in between there where one idea is informative of the other and it relates back to what we had already thought. So there's an opportunity there for some interesting reframing of a conversation. So I hope I'm giving you a couple of things to think about voice and vision, the way you approach your work and realizing that a lot of what we get out of our work is from looking at our own work and thinking and processing about that, but making sure that it relates back to the core of who we are and understanding what is it in me that matters and that I'm trying to say and I'm trying to communicate. And in fact, am I doing it the most effective way possible? And either way, yes, no, maybe, that we continue to refine and hone that edge so that we create the best work possible, because it's in that photography. It's when we are really, truly communicating the things that matter to us in a meaningful way, in the way we imagined, I think that we get really great photographs. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Thanks again so much for joining me and tuning into the podcast. And I look forward to seeing you next week when we tackle on episode 310, and I will see you then.